morning we enter into a two-part message, as I mentioned at the beginning of our service, dealing with Jesus Christ, our healer. In the CNMA, we recognize that Jesus is our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. Those four distinctives regarding Christ's work has driven the CNMA's work since the inception of it, and even before the CNMA was technically together, as Simpson felt led of the Lord to identify these four areas. I come before you this morning recognizing, and my brother Mark might would agree with this, as a pastor there are certain topics that are very dangerous to discuss. Because when you discuss certain topics, there's always the fear that people will be insulted, hurt, or misunderstood, or misunderstand what you're saying. Healing is one of those topics, because it is emotionally attached to the heart. And this morning I want to tell you that as I go into this two-part series, that my desire is not to lay guilt trip on anyone, including myself, but to purely examine what God's Word says regarding divine healing. I chose this first message to start this off, and what this first message is actually A.B. Simpson's message that he wrote out, if you will, in 1890. I trust that I'll bring some Leonard perspective to it as well, but in essence, I'm bringing what Simpson said regarding divine healing. And he listed 10 things that divine healing is not. Then he listed 10 things about divine healing, then wraps it up with understanding how it applies to our lives. And I'm going to do my best to present that to you this morning. And as we prepare to do so, there are two scriptures, verses that lead us in this direction, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Matthew 8:17 says, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, as we come before you this morning, we recognize that you are here in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint each and every one of us, fill us with your Spirit. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, and our hearts that we may understand. Conform us to your will. Father, I pray for myself as I come into your pulpit this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would empty me of myself, fill me with your Spirit, that it would not be my words but your words. I ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I gave you the outline in your bulletin this morning of the 10 what divine healing is not, and also the 10 of what divine healing is, and then ultimately how is Jesus our healer. The first thing that we want to understand is divine healing is not medical healing. We praise God for the wisdom of doctors to be able to understand how medicines work, how to be able to work on the human body. We have no problem in the CNMA with someone seeking medical help. But we do not claim, though, that when a doctor works on an individual and they come through the operation, we go, well, that was divine healing. No, it was medical healing. God may have been at work. He might have used the doctors. He may have used the medicines. But ultimately, that is not what we consider divine healing. Divine healing is when we see God alone at work, and only He can get the glory. We recognize that there comes a point in time in Simpson's life, for example. In his life, he came to the point where he no longer sought medical healing. He felt convicted of the Lord, convinced of the Lord, that the only place he needed to go for healing was the Lord. But he also recognized not everyone is at that point. If God doesn't lead you to that point, then you should seek medical healing. There's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, God is our healer. Jesus Christ died for us. He also points out divine healing is not metaphysical healing. This is along the lines of Christian Science, where it's a mind over matter. It puts the knowledge and intellect or the mind of man in the place of God. It is not healing by remedies, but by mental forces. In essence, it says that the material world is not real. You are not here physically. You just, in your mind, believe you're here. I am not here either physically. Just in my mind, I believe I'm here. And our minds together believe we're here together. And they thus say that sickness is only a thought in the mind. If you could clear the mind, there is no such thing as sickness because there is no body to have sickness in. There's a major problem with that. John tells us that if anyone proclaims that Jesus Christ is not risen in the flesh, that they are an antichrist. And if if there is no real body, then Jesus could not have been risen in the real body, the flesh. And if sin, if sickness is not real and the body is not real, and sin then did not happen, and thus we do not need a Savior, and the atonement is completely erased. We are living in the flesh. We live in a sin-tainted world, and we do have a Savior who provides atonement.
Hallelujah.
The third one is divine healing is not magnetic healing. Now, I'll have to admit, being that this was written 120 years ago, I had to go do some research. What did he mean by magnetic healing? Because I'm thinking magnets today. And that is not what he meant.
No.
He meant the power of a person to draw the sickness out of you. To take it in unto themselves, if you will, and heal through their body. That's a different kind of faith healer than what we understand today. And so he's saying that there is no magnetism that someone can reach out to you and take that sickness from you. Don't believe the charlatans out there that would tell you that they have this power within them to heal you. I personally have a real problem with anyone that says, I have the power to heal you, because you don't have the power to heal anyone, nor do I. Jesus is the power.
Amen.
Jesus is the source. And if He works through you, you should be humble to say, praise You, God, thank You, God, for just using me as the tool for this healing. The fourth one is pointed out is divine healing is not spiritualism. It cannot be denied that Satan has certain power over the human body. We recognize that there was a woman who was in infirmity for 15 years before she was released of that infirmity. I think it was 18 years, but regardless, she was in that infirmity, and it was because of Satan and his power over the body. We battle a formidable foe. And we can look around the world today and recognize where the gospel message is not penetrated very strongly or not at all, that Satan works openly and he brings illnesses upon people and he can do counterfeit miracles. There are stories of people being healed by witch doctors. That is not God. That is not divine healing. We need to keep that clear. Is there a power working? Yes. But not the power of God. Another power that works against God. The fifth one this morning, and a couple of these you're going to find very challenging. The fifth one is divine healing is not prayer cure. One of the problems that we have in our society today, in my opinion, as was seen by Simpson's writing 120 years ago, that there is a belief that somehow prayer heals people. Prayer does not heal people. I remember a number of years ago, I like Promise Keepers. I remember a number of years ago, they were seeking to have a million men come on the lawn at the White House. And the slogan was, can you imagine what would happen when a million men come together and pray? People didn't like me much. I said the same thing where five people come together who know Jesus Christ and pray. As far as the outward work of God, what will He do in those people? And the people look at me, and even y'all look at me like, Pastor, what are you talking about? Corporate prayer is good. Absolutely. But the power is not in the people. It's in God. And there's only one God. It isn't if you have 10 people, 15 people, 100 people, like we're exponentially building the number of, or the power of prayer to bring healing or to bring God's will. No. James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not men. Man. Now, I have a little illustration for you. I need three volunteers. Before you volunteer, though, I'm going to tell you what I'm asking you to do. Because I want to clarify with you, there is no power in prayer. Prayer is coming to the throne of God, where power is released by the living God. I want that to be clear. So with this illustration, I need three people to be willing to come up with me, and we're going to pray for this wall to fall down. Do I have any takers?
It won't fall down.
Pastor, you've lost it. That shows, though, listen to me, we're two or three gathered together. Should not that wall fall down if there's power in prayer? It's not the power of prayer. First of all, it's not God's will for the wall to fall down, I sure hope.
You would have to pay for it.
And secondly, talk to the treasurer. Secondly, the power is not in the prayer itself, it is in God. Please keep your prayers correct. You are coming to the throne of grace, asking God to release His power to do work for the glory of His name. So, you know, when we come together on our Tuesday nights and we have 5, 6, 7, 8 people and we're praying, praise God. That's a mighty army. Because it's God who moves, not us. Now, I go back to the million man idea for the Promise Keepers. If a million men came together on the lawn, what that would do is be a great testimony for the nation. It would be a time of God working on the people. But it does not, and I'll end with this thought on this, it does not exponentially increase the power of prayer. Because the power is in only one, and it is in God. And that is why when you see someone who possesses the gift of healing or prays for someone and they're healed, praise God, not the man or the woman. Praise God, because it is by the power of God that the healing came, and none other than God. And we want to keep that clear. The sixth one, is divine healing is not faith cure. This too is a problem. Simpson, quoting here, says, there is danger of getting one's mind so concentrated on faith that it may come between the soul and God. You might as well expect your faith to heal you as to attempt to drink from the handle of a chain pump with which you get fresh water, or to eat the tray upon which your dinner is brought. If you get to looking at your faith, you will lose the faith itself. It is God who heals you always. The less we dwell on the prayers, the faith, or any other means through which it comes, the more likely we will be to receive the blessing. Now, let me kind of paraphrase this. So often in our society today, and I've been there, Lord, if I only have the faith, and we know that says, you know, help me overcome my faith, my lack of faith. How do you overcome the lack of faith? First of all, you acknowledge it and ask God to help you. But it isn't that you're seeking your faith, you're seeking Him. As you draw closer to Him, He builds us naturally, spiritually, supernaturally, if you will. But He's building us. How many times do you hear people say, if you only have the faith, you would be healed? Faith is essential. It is a key to being healed. But that is not the only thing involved. There are people out there that have faith in faith instead of God. And they teach that. They coin it differently, but they teach faith in faith. Brothers and sisters, I want us to be able to rip the curtain from top to bottom, to walk into the Holy of Holies and meet Him and know Him personally. On the website the other day, I had the opportunity to share something. They were talking about, you know, I don't remember the context, so it's not going to make as much sense. But my statement was, what I want to know is Jesus and to be known by Him fully. Nothing more, nothing less. The knowledge that you gain by studying, praise God. You know what? We're going to be supernaturally intelligent someday. God's going to do that work. Sometimes this is a Leonard moment. I like to pull back the veil sometimes. There are times I long for the simplicity of life. The simplicity of faith. God, can I go back to the early days? Some of you that are in the early days, you're yearning to go into the deeper waters and feel like all the answers are going to be there. Man, no, listen to me. Your mind is going to be more boggled there than you were in the early days. Enjoy the early days. Now, I'm not saying don't grow. But I'm saying enjoy that simple, precious, childlike time. Because when it changes and you start dealing with apologetics and other things, your mind just gets so boggled. Divine healing is not willpower. The image there is that, you know, if I can make this body heal. It's not willpower. It's not more faith, though what we need faith. But God says, faith like a mustard seed can move mountains. I think that's right. We need to understand that it is God that we're seeking. You're not going to heal yourself. The body's already been designed by God to do certain healing. It's not mind over matter. So often you hear people talk about yoga, or I do at least, and they ask, you know, whether or not yoga is a good thing. As far as for the body in of itself, there's nothing wrong with doing certain moves. I was in martial arts. But when you take it to the mind over matter, the clearing, the clear, and the key, then you're going into the spiritual realm, which is not godly. You want to know Christ. Are you getting a theme here this morning? And I know you know these things, but we need to be reminded of them. It is Christ that we seek. In your hour of desperation, if you're going through a trial, if you're going through a sickness, seek Him. Lay at His feet. Trust Him to move. And careful here. Stop doing it yourself. Let Him be God. Divine healing is not defiance of God's will. God's will does play into the picture. You cannot change God's will. You cannot go to God and say, God, I know, and I know we talked this morning about Hezekiah in Sunday school, but God says that He orders the number of days. God knew He was going to give him those 15 more years. You and I need to understand, when we come before God, if God says no, praise God. We talked about that in Sunday school too. You're not going to make God, God, if I plead a little more, will you please do it? God, if I grovel at your feet, will you please do it? God, if I do more work for you, will you please do it? If I make a promise to you that if you heal me, I'll become a minister and go to Africa and work for you, will you heal me? God says, I have plans for you already set out. Align with my plans and watch what I will do. One of the hardest things in the Christian life is to really live that crucified life that says, not I, but Christ. Not my will, but your will. That is a difficult, daily undertaking, asking the Lord to show us His plan for us, and then take the next step, and the next step, and the next step. And as you take those steps, guess what? Mark quoted it so graciously this morning, and I can't quote it, but we're not what we're yet going to be, yet we're not what we were. God's still at work. And we have that hope. Moving forward. Number 9. Neither is it physical immortality. Everyone dies, God says, to the exception of Enoch and Elijah. And that may be fixed in Revelation 11. But He says that it's appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. Everyone's going to die. We talked about a lady who had the gift of healing this morning in Sunday school, and yet she's dead because God was done with her. Her time was up. And we'll see that a little more as we get into the what is divine healing. Divine healing is not a mercenary medical profession that men adopt as they would adopt a trade or profession in order to make something out of it. I'm not going to go into that one. I don't fully understand what he meant. I've read it. I studied it. I have an idea, but I'm not fully sure. So let's move forward. What is divine healing? It is the supernatural divine power of God infused into human bodies, renewing their strength and replacing the weakness of suffering human frames by the life and power of God. Man, think about that. Christianity, if I'm not mistaken, is the only, quote, religion, which technically we are a religion by what we do, but we're more than a religion. And that is, we have Christ living in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, growing, changing, manipulating, guiding, filling, all for one purpose. God's glory. Oh, it's not about me? No. It's for His glory. And we receive the blessings that come from that. Divine healing is the work of God and God alone. It's founded not on the reasoning of man or the testimony of those who have been healed, but on the Word of God alone. Testimonies are great, but if we did not find in the Scriptures that divine healing was true, then we should not believe the testimonies. But we do see in Scripture that God heals. God is our healer. We also see in number 3, it ever recognizes the will of God and bows to that profound submission. A Christian who is looking for divine healing will wait till he knows the will of God. And having learned that, he will claim it without wavering. This one talks a little bit about the medical side. If you're not certain of God's will for your life, and if you're not certain whether or not God is going to heal you or not heal you, then you go to the doctor. But if you know God's going to heal you, rest in God. If God has spoken to your heart and said, I am going to heal you, who are you to argue with God? And I know sometimes people, again, they'll look at you and go, yeah, but how do you know? Trust me, believe me. If God tells you He's going to heal you, you will know. It will be indisputable to you. Others will look at you like you're whacked out. You know, that's a pastoral word. It got in the pastor's dictionary. They will look at you like you are crazy for trusting God. But don't do that unless you have the assurance that it is God's will that He's going to heal you. What does that mean then? It could mean hours of prayer. God, what is your will for my life? God, how does this sickness bring glory to you? How can the sickness be used for your glory? Lord, how can you use me in this state? But no, I don't want this sickness. In God's time, He will either heal you or bring you home. In the meantime, the thing is, between birth and death, what are you going to do? Bring glory to God in the good times and the bad times. I like Sunday school because so much of it ties over into what we talk about on Sunday morning in the worship service. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress in the deep, dark, cold, cool dungeon, prison room. And praise God for that solitude to be able to write the book that has touched millions of people. But he gave up his freedom. He didn't give up anything because he accepted God's will, that this is God's will for my life. Isn't that awesome? But I know that our mind goes, I don't want that. God says, that's the problem. You still have self in you. Oh, Pastor, I hate it when you say that. But brothers and sisters, if you don't know me by now, I'm not perfected, trust me, okay? Don't get me wrong in this statement. But the secret to the Christian life is the crucified life. The surrender to God moment by moment, day by day. That is the secret of how to live out the life that God calls us to, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But the problem is, sometimes we want God to empower us the way we are, rather than saying, God, I'll surrender to you that you may empower me to do what you want. I trust he and she will not mind me using them as an example this morning. Mark and Joy, looking for a church. Looking for a church that God calls them to. Not just the first church, not just the church that looks good, the church that they know in their hearts that God says, this is it. Is that always easy? No, because we do see the human things that are attached. But in prayer and trusting, God will bring clarity to that. And that's what we have to seek in our own lives. Number four, divine healing is part of the redemption work of Jesus Christ. You and I need to understand and believe from Scripture, Jesus died on the cross for our salvation, but also for the whole person. In the blood, the atonement, there is healing for the physical body. According to the will of God. According to the purposes of God. And there are other attachments as well, and we'll look at some of those when we look at the next message. Three Sundays from today. Divine healing comes to us through the life of Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead in His own body. Quoting Simpson again, we are healed by the life of Christ in our body. It is a tender union with Him, nearer than the bond of some word I don't know, oneness. So near that the very life of His veins is transfused into yours, that is divine healing. Picture time. It's not God coming alongside you. It's not God just kind of residing down in a compartment somewhere in your being. It's God being your all in all. Filling you. And part of the process of this life is letting go of those things that keep God from filling you to the max. And it is a lifelong process. That's why we call it sanctification, the progressive stage. Because it's lifelong. But the overused word, awesome. The awesome concept, the realization that it is God in you, the hope of glory, bringing the healing, bringing not just the healing, but the health of Jesus. Most people miss that in Simpson's teaching. He primarily taught the health that we have is in Christ. And if you're walking in divine health, the sickness is less apt to take place because you're walking in a submissive life in the will of God for the glory of God, empowered by God. Indwelt by God. Number six, it is the work of the Holy Spirit quickening the body. Again, the Holy Spirit is who indwells us. He's the one that is at work in us. We see in Scripture, and I've mentioned this in the past, and we can discuss it in more detail if I leave you behind on this, Jesus did His healing and His miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is my view that He lived as a man, full God, full man, but lived as a man, showing us the perfect example. And the miracles He performed were by the power of the Holy Spirit. Simpson says that in relation to healing as well. That when He healed, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that brought the healing. He didn't call upon His own divine power, though He could have. But in order to operate like a man, to teach us a lesson that total dependence upon the Holy Spirit, do we want to do the things that Christ did and even more? In order to do so, we'd have to live like Christ, dependent upon the Holy Spirit in this life. Number seven, divine healing comes by the grace of God, not through the work of man. It cannot be bought, neither can it be worked for. We cannot help God out in it. We must take it as a gift. It comes to us as a pardon does, a free gift from Him. Amen. I'm so glad that that's the way it is. We lay at His feet, trusting Him, seeking His grace, His mercy. Number eight, it comes to us by faith. It is not the faith that heals, God heals, but faith receives it. Quoting from Simpson, we believe that God is healing before any evidence is given. It is to be believed as a present reality and then ventured on. We are to act as if it were already true. God wants us to lean on Him and trust Him and then rejoice and praise Him for what He has given with no doubt or fear. It's not the faith that heals. It's the faith that opens the door to the healing of Christ. Because without faith, you don't believe in Him to begin with. But we must trust in His work for us and in us. Number nine, the divine healing is in accordance with all the facts of church history. Now, we said earlier, some of the things sound almost like he contradicts himself. But he's not. We do have historical records. The Bible says about divine healing, we have historical records of people who believed in, taught healing, and saw healings. The times of the early reformers are full of it. The lives of Luther, Baxter, Fox, Whitfield, and Wesley saw divine healing. Another pastor moment here for a second. I've been in the ministry 17 years, and I can tell you that for 17 years, healing has been one subject that I have grappled with, wrestled with, and still seek to know more about. I personally believe, and again, this is not a guilt trip, I'm telling you from my heart, I believe we don't see the miraculous as it ought to be seen today in this era of time, as often as it could and should be seen. There is something disconnected there, and it's not God. We don't understand something. Maybe we do have a lack of faith. And I know people, man, that just cuts them to the heart. How dare you tell me I have a lack of faith? How dare I tell you that you have great faith? It's when we recognize how our faith is weak that we hunger and drive to grow more. The longer I walk with Christ, the more I realize how little I know and how weak my faith is. And I know that that's an oxymoron to the world. No, you're supposed to be growing strong. Oh, I'm stronger than I was, but it just tells me how weak I used to be in comparison. We are growing, but let us be like little children, hungering after our Father, desiring Him to move in our midst. The last one of what it is, divine healing, is one of the signs of the age, and this is what I've just been touching on. It is the forerunner of Christ's coming. It is God's answer to the infidelity of today. Man may try to reason it down with the force of his intellect. God meets it with this unanswerable proof of His power, like you saw Greg Outlaw in the video this morning. The doctor had no answer. But it must have been a miracle. I long to see the miraculous taking place. Now, I agree. One of the greatest miracles God does is the new birth. You never take away from that. But I still believe that we should be seeing healings more prevalent in our churches. We should see marriages being restored more readily. Now, I know people are involved, but God, the Holy Spirit, works upon people and brings conviction. There should be things taking place that is not just the commonplace, but the supernatural, the miraculous. I fear that too often we have settled for status quo instead of, Father, give us all that you would have for us, that you may be glorified. That you may be glorified. How is Jesus our healer? Three simple points. Because he has bought healing for us with his stripes, it is a part of his purchased redemption on Calvary. Surely he hath borne our sickness and carried our pains. The second thing, because it is in his risen life in us, we have healing not only from Jesus, but in Jesus. It is in his living body, and we receive it as we abide in him and keep it only as we abide in him. And thirdly, because he enables us to take it by becoming our power to believe, he gives the faith to trust him if we will receive it. That's another thing that's misunderstood today, and I'm running long. We somehow get the concept that it is our job to make our faith grow. No, we are to be diligent in studying and praying and seeking after God. Faith grows because God brings it. He does the increase. We think, well, I just work hard enough. If you just let go, seek God and let him be God, he will bring the healing. He will bring the increase in faith. I close with a story this morning that is found in Simpson's paper. This man is walking along and he falls into a pit, waist deep in the mire. He's crying out, "Someone, someone help me!" After a period of time, he looks up and he sees Buddha. I'm sorry, Confucius. Confucius looks down in there and says, "What's the problem?" He says, "Well, I fell into this pit. Can you help me?" He says, "Well, if you had read my books and did what they said, you wouldn't be in the pit." He says, "Yeah, I'll read them and I will do it, but will you?" And he looks up and Confucius is gone. Then he hears another person come up. Buddha comes up. And he says, "Buddha, you know, can you help me?" He says, with his arms folded and eyes closed as if he's looking off to some far distant land, "If you'll only close your eyes and fold your arms and imagine that you're in a great place, then your current reality will no longer be. And things will be okay." He says, "Well, I'll do that after I get out of this pit. Can you help me out?" And he looks up and Buddha's gone. Then he looks up and sees another man whose face looks like a man of sorrows. He says, "What seems to be the problem?" He says, "Well, I fell in this pit. Can you?" And before he finished talking, the man's in the pit with him. Wraps his arms around him and takes him out of the pit. Washes him off. Feeds him. And doesn't tell him, "You need to do better and don't fall in these pits, so I have to come rescue you." No, he says, "I will walk with you to help you to keep from falling in these pits." We have a God that goes with us.
Amen.
We have a God who gives divine guidance. You know me, I like words. Some of the words that need to be really put back into the church powerfully is the word divine. We have a divine God. He gives divine guidance. He releases his divine power for his divine glory.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Healing still takes place today.
Yes, indeed.
Apart from all other things, it's simply the hand of God. We need to be hungering after that.